your host, Ben Korn.
The thing I love about Teixeira is that people ask him, like, hey, you know, your average is starting to struggle. He's like, I'm not here for average.
And Chris Welter.
But, yeah, if you want to read some wild stories about the underground baseball world, definitely research what Puig is going through right now, because it's pretty intriguing.
So you should Google Fantasy Baseball Weekly to find that out?
Exactly, and follow them on Twitter, I've heard.
I hear the Bearded Wonder is really good about tweeting about that.
And now, Fantasy Baseball Weekly.
Ryan was a great pitcher.
Man, that does stink.
Yeah, you gotta control yourself, bro. Fantasy Baseball Weekly, we are back. Thank you so much. We're recording this podcast on Sunday, May the 3rd. We've got a lot to discuss. Chris Welter is here live in studio. I'm really excited about that. Hello, Chris.
Yes, my voice sounds a little bit better, I'm assuming.
Yeah, no, actually, your voice always sucks. So, yeah, we got a lot to discuss in this episode. We are through 1 month of baseball, so we'll talk a little bit about who are the best. Nelson Cruz?
Maybe, he's definitely one of the best.
Maybe Jose Altuve?
He looks legit.
Jake Marisnyk?
Ah, that's my boy.
Nolan Ryan?
He's the grandpa, I think.
Okay, just make sure you're paying attention to that. Yep. You know, it's, now that we have you in studio.
You threw me off. You ripped my voice, and now I'm very, I can't stop thinking about my voice.
Blake Swihart made his debut for the Red Sox. We're pretty excited about that.
Yes!
Denard Span, Josh Donaldson, AJ Burnett, all these people are in the news.
They're all blowing up. They're doing great.
There's some good stuff happening. So we'll get into a lot of those details. We'll talk about tracking Chris, maybe even track Ben, which is kind of crazy.
We do. The new side segment.
Yeah, the side segment that will be changing the way people track things. We need to get a sounder, I think, for tracking Ben.
Tracking left, tracking right.
It's going to be wild, man. But let's get this thing started with the news.
Are you guys ready for the news with Chris Welter? Well, here it is. Take it away, Chris.
We fly into the news with the Blue Jays. Prospects Danny Norris and Dalton Pompey were sent to the minors after struggling to begin the season. Jose Reyes landed on the 15-day DL after cracking a rib. Is anybody surprised there? Josh Donaldson is a beast. He looks like an MVP after starting the season with 6 home runs and a 943 OPS. Jason Kipnis is starting to heat up after hitting 2 home runs in his last 4 days. Denard Span is on fire, hitting .346 with 6 extra base hits last week. AJ Burnett continues to look like his 2013 self after posting his 4th straight quality start.
That's pretty good there, Chris. You have 3 stories about the Toronto Blue Jays.
That's why I let off saying we fly into the news.
I didn't realize that you were such a fan of Canadia.
Well, it's less about the Canadians and more about flying into the news. I feel like you're not getting it.
I mean, so you're talking about airplanes?
The birds fly. Yeah, the Blue Jays.
So let's talk about more serious thing.
Okay.
The Baltimore Orioles and the situation happening in Baltimore.
So let's fly into Baltimore.
I just think it's crazy that they had a baseball game. See, this should have been in the news that there was a baseball game that was performed with nobody in the stands. Like, that's got to be crazy as a Major League Baseball player.
Well, we can talk about it now. We'll throw it into the news. Yeah, it was interesting, you know, obviously with the Baltimore protests, they didn't want to have people in the stadium, just to catch up our listeners here. So they played the game with no fans. It was an empty stadium. And then they also switched, kind of screwed Baltimore Orioles, because then they have to play technically 3 home games in Tampa Bay, so that's not really great for the Orioles. But it was the first time ever that I guess that's ever happened. I think some FIFA stadiums, some soccer stadiums have done it because of the wild hooligans. But it was just weird, you know, when someone hit the ball, you could hear it echo. Like, it literally rang through, the sound rang through the whole stadium.
Yeah, just imagine as a, you know, from a fantasy perspective, if you're looking to start your pitchers during that, you know, the pitchers can't see, you know, they can't get motivated to play in that.
I mean, Jeff Samardzija got crushed.
Yeah,
that
like
day.
He definitely was not amped up for that game.
No, it certainly hurt my terrible fantasy baseball.
And then
team.
You talk about, you know, them playing in Tampa. So Tampa's like giving away general admission tickets for like $10.
Nobody wants to go to those games for anything.
It's like, it's still your team, Tampa. Yeah. Like, it's super weird that nobody's, you know, that less people went when it was cheaper than when Tampa Bay is at home or something. Like, it was didn't make any sense to me, but...
The Oriole fans were great, though. I don't know if you saw them. There was about a couple dozen that gathered outside the gate, and they were still cheering and yelling for their team, and actually had a Let's Go O's chant that you could hear at one point. So props to the O's fans. I hope they can get their town straightened out there.
Yeah, it's just so funny that they cancel the game, but yet there's still people at the bars partying, like there's a game going on inside. Like, you can't go into the stadium, but you can party everywhere outside the stadium.
It was weird. And then the general manager, or the owner of the Orioles, released a very political statement. Now, we don't like to get too political on this show.
Yeah. But sometimes we have to.
He's not a big fan of the way his city is being run at the moment. Let's just put it that way.
Nice. A-Rod, you hate this guy. He hit 660. Oh,
how did you sneak him on here?
I thought it was important.
Fine,
you know?
Fine.
You know, you have a mind that must be, you know, I need that information of how you feel about A-Rod on all the time.
So. You know how, instead of saying how I feel about it, just look at the reaction when he hit the home run.
Yeah.
The fans kind of stood up and gave a half-assed little
clap.
They're
like, you're okay.
You know, a little golf clap, and then his teammates didn't even meet him at the plate or anything. There was no ceremony. It looked like another home run. Just people gave him a little extra hug. That was all.
I just feel sad, I think, for Alex, because he wants to be good at baseball. Like, he loves the game of baseball, and he tried so hard by doing the steroids and that type of thing because he wanted to, you know, be the best for us fans, and yet...
You're sad for him?
I'm sad for A-Rod,
man.
He
is the worst.
I didn't think I would be, but I'm sad for A-Rod.
You should hate A-Rod. He brought it on himself. He brought it on himself.
But it's all about love for the game, man.
I think the most interesting part is that the Yankees have said they will not pay him. He gets a $6 million bonus for these record-breaking home runs, and they said, we're not paying him, and A-Rod kind of said that's fine. He through the news, just said, you know, I'm a different person. I'm going to approach this differently than I have in the past, and I think it'll just work itself out, which sounds like he's just not going to pay it, and he's fine with it.
That's weird.
Why he hasn't just come up with the idea of donate the money, I still don't understand. It's the easiest idea. It'll make everyone happy.
Why the Yankees don't give him the $6 million. If they don't give him the $6 million, then they should give back the World Series. I mean, he's still won games by hitting these home runs. Slope.
The Yankees didn't. The Yankees didn't cheat. They didn't know.
I mean, they still won because he was cheating.
Okay, well,
so they should pay him for it.
Tell that to the Manny Ramirez Red Sox fans.
But on a fantasy perspective, it looks like A-Rod is becoming a leader on this team again.
He has to be. He's the only guy hitting. He's batting .234, and he's the only guy hitting.
But like him and Teixeira, each batting like under .200, but they're knocking in some home runs.
Yeah, I think you brought it up last week. Teixeira just came out and said, look, I'm not here to hit singles. Home runs are nothing.
A-Rod's pretty much doing the same thing. He's like, I'm just looking to get to 700. That's my new plan.
All right, I'm changing this off of the A-Rod. Blake Sweetheart got called up from an injury to Ryan Hannigan on the Red Sox. That's interesting. You know, it's tough because you don't ever want to carry more than one catcher on a fantasy team, so I don't know that you want to go pick him up. But if he was red hot down at Pawtucket in the minors, so if he has a really good first week and you have, you know, just kind of another crappy catcher, he might be worth a pickup.
For those that are looking to stash him on a daily fantasy league, he's still as expensive as some of the better catchers. So he's not worth playing in daily fantasy, just to give some perspective.
Yeah, I mean, he has power. He can hit for average, so he can do everything. And the Red Sox are certainly pumped about him.
But keep an eye out. If Blake gets out of that 8 position in the lineup, then maybe look at him a little bit more. But right now, he's not much of a fantasy player.
Last thing I do want to bring up before we cut the news here, TJ House on the Indians, the ever-interesting Indians
rotation. I think I just hate the Indians. I keep trying to draft, like, my whole roster when I started my league was all Indians guys, and they all suck now. Carlos Carrasco sucks, TJ House sucks. The only guy that doesn't suck is the one I don't have on my team.
Danny Salazar. Yeah. I got him on all my teams. Well, you can get a new Indians pitcher. Actually, he's not new. I've touted him in the past, and that blew up in my face, but TJ House hit the 15-day DL this week, and it's likely that Zach McAllister will come back out of the bullpen and replace him.
Stay away from him.
No,
he's
still
the
like,
worst.
I'm going to back off my obsession with him a little bit. He's not like an immediate add or anything, but if he pitches well the first week or the first start, he could be worth at least a streaming spot, and maybe more.
The Player Profile on Fantasy Baseball Weekly.
This week's player profile is Chris Archer. He's awesome. You're welcome. Sorry, I'm hungover. That's your player profile.
This is producer Rick, and you're listening to Fantasy Baseball Weekly.
Welcome back to Fantasy Baseball Weekly, your home for the best fantasy baseball talk out there. You name a better fantasy baseball podcast than Fantasy Baseball Weekly. There is not one.
Wow. All right. You fired up.
Yeah, man. After that Chris Archer profile.
Dropping knowledge.
Dropping some knowledge on everyone. I love it, kid. But Chris Archer, you talk about this guy really killing it. You know, he gave up a couple runs in his last start, but he's been the best pitcher in Major League Baseball, and he wasn't even supposed to be the best pitcher on his team coming into the year. Right. So what's up with this guy, Chris Archer?
Yeah, he's looked like an ace, like a stud. He basically took a really big step forward, and I think it's going to last.
Yeah, he seems confident.
It's kind of like what we're trying to do with this segment is go over some surprises and let you know if it's going to last or if it's a fluke. And, man, if you have Chris Archer, hold on to him. Because I think he could be good all year. It's sort of showing up in his numbers. Now, he does have a 216 BABIP, which is very low, but his ERA is like under one. So, obviously, both of those things will come up. What's more intriguing about him is his line drive rate, which is how hard somebody is hitting the ball off of him, has decreased a lot from last year. It was 22%. In last year, and this year it's dropped all the way down to 16%. So batters just aren't hitting it as well. To further back that up, his ground ball rate is going up as well. It was 46% in 2014, and it's 59% now. So that's a big jump in ground balls, and that's really how you want to get people out. And sort of what that tells me is he is just more deceptive. You want to get geekier?
Sure, I like geeking.
All right, let's get real geeky here. Let's talk whiff percentage.
Oh, wow.
Particularly on his changeup and slider.
I didn't
slider.
Know we were going that
Yeah,
week.
We're getting geeky. So his whiff percentage on his changeup and slider have really improved. And those are your out pitches. That's how you strike somebody out. You set them up with the fastball, and then you punch them out with the changeup and slider. So, yeah, his changeup is up to 20% whiff rate. Compared to 11% last year, and wow. The slider is up 5% whiff rate as well. So he looks like a stud.
So he might not be able to be picked up in your weekly league because he's awesome.
No, he's owned. I just want to say that if you have him, don't try and sell high. Just hold on to him. He's going to be a stud all year.
But on a daily format, if he's pitching, you want him. It doesn't really even matter who he's going against. It doesn't matter if he's going against the Tigers.
No, he's beating everybody. The Red Sox, he's mowing them down. Doesn't matter.
Not even your flying Blue Jays?
He could be soaring up north, but besides that, no, I'd pitch him against everybody. Actually, he's pretty terrible. He owns the Blue Jays, oddly enough. Yeah, he owns them.
Okay. Devin Travis on the Blue Jays. This is somebody that you and I battle over who actually knows about this guy more, because I've been talking about Devin Travis since, like, episode 2.
Basically, you talked about him since I brought him up.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm pretty sure I was the one that brought him up to begin, and then you talked about him because I was smarter than you.
Well, let's see who's smarter now. Do you think this is going to last, Ben? Because right now he's batting .324. He's got 6 homers. He's got 17 runs, 19 RBIs. This guy, he didn't show power in the minors. Do you think it's going to last?
Well, you need a breaking news.
Oh.
While we've been doing this podcast, Devin Travis just hit a grand slam.
No, really?
So he's now up to 23 RBIs and 18 runs and 7 home runs. So, yeah, Devin Travis, I mean, he started off the number 8 hitter in the lineup, which is not an easy place to be. He killed it in the 8 spot. So when Jose Reyes sucks and gets injured all the time, he moves up to the first spot in the order. As a leadoff hitter, Devin Travis has become a beast.
Yeah.
So I see this continuing. Granted, he's a rook, and nobody really saw him coming except for Ben Korn. But I see this as a guy that he may not be picked up in your leagues yet. You know, he's still cheap on the daily. I play him in my daily fantasy games consistently because, he's still – people are not buying in to the fact that this rook is going to continue to kill it. But Devin Travis is here, and he's at least here to stay – this season. We'll see what happens next season, but he's having a year.
Yeah, he's only 88% owned in Yahoo League, so he's out there in a couple leagues. Definitely pick him up if you can. Yeah, I can't find any reason. The home runs won't last. The power is just, it doesn't make any sense. There's no reason to expect that. But he has a 330 BABIP, and for a fast guy, that makes sense. He's got an 8% walk rate, 17% K rate. Like, everything looks good. So,
well, and I think,
I'm buying Devin Travis.
I think you're going to see more steals as well.
That could be.
We haven't seen any of that from the leadoff man on the Blue Jays. And I think you'll start seeing more steals come through.
Yeah, when the power comes back down to earth, yeah, he'll have time to steal. Speaking of stealing bases, I wanted to talk D. Gordon for a moment.
This guy's,
I didn't quite realize how
from?
Good he is. Yeah, I think we all saw what he did last year, and frankly, I just thought it was a fluke. I thought Miami trading for him was a terrible idea. But here he is batting .423 with 9 stolen bases. He might be legit.
Yeah, I haven't watched many Miami games because I'm anti-Florida.
Okay, sure.
But
it's too hot and beautiful.
Yeah, it's just too hot and beautiful down there. I'm not into it. But D. Gordon, yeah, I was looking at just his statistics, and he's leading the league in average right now, above my boy DJ LeMahieu. You know, the stolen bases are there. I mean, everything seems to be there. Will he continue to hit this well? Probably not. I mean, that average is going to drop down to 320.
He's got a .477 BABIP. That's
right.
Wildly high. Yeah. But he could easily hit 300 again.
But I think that from a fantasy perspective, he's going to be better than we gave him credit for
this year. Yeah, I mean, he's actually improving at the plate right now. His K rate is down 4 points. He's only striking out 12% of the time. That's very good for a fast guy. If you're making contact, you're going to get on base.
Matt Carpenter.
Oh, yeah.
Really kind of holding down the fort for the St. Louis Cardinals. That whole Cardinals team, whether it be Matt Carpenter or Matt Adams, Holiday's not even hitting home runs, but he's just hitting those gappers, getting the doubles. I mean, all those guys in the Cardinals are looking good to go along with a nice rotation.
They know how to breed hitters in St. Louis, that's for sure. Yeah, he's a beast. He has 14 doubles already.
Yeah, ridiculous.
I can't even do the math, but I think that's like on pace for over 100 doubles. That would break some records. But he's done it before. He actually hit 55 doubles back in 2013. On way to having a batting average of .318. So I think we're kind of looking at that season again. And that's super valuable. As long as you're in a league that counts doubles in some fashion, that's really valuable. He's going to have 120 runs probably. Another one, yeah, it's fully legit. If you have Matt Carpenter, you're going to he might carry you to the championship.
Starlin Castro, we didn't know if he was even going to make it through the season, but he's done well for the Chicago Cubs. Anthony D. Sclafani, rookie for the Reds. This one I'm not fully buying in on.
No, I think he finally had a rough outing.
Yeah, I mean, he lost to another rookie for the Braves.
Yeah, I think he walked 5 guys, which is what you expect. You expect a rookie to kind of have bad control. But, yeah, D. Sclafani was kind of one of the monthly flash in the pans.
It's sad. Cause,
if you have him, try and trade him away if somebody wants him. But in general, yeah, he's not going to keep doing that. I did want to talk. Let's talk Starlin Castro for a second because he's only 25. If people feel like he's, you know, a veteran, but he's only 25. I guess he's a veteran for the Cubs. But Chris Bryant has really sparked him.
Yeah.
And I think Joe Maddon has helped too. But yeah, I think we're going to see some type of breakout season from Starlin. He's even stealing bases, which people were worried he didn't steal bases last year. He stole 25 bases back in 2012, so he could do that again. And he could get you 15, 20 home runs and have a .300 average. At shortstop, that's a top 5 shortstop.
Yep. Yeah, I'm not fully buying in on Starlin. I think that the Cubs, just in general, there's just a lot of excitement on that team with Bryant coming up and all their young kids making appearances. So there's been a lot of pressure on whether or not he can keep that job at shortstop, so that's helped him to perform a little bit better. But once kind of the excitement wears away, I could see Castro kind of taking a little dive. So I'd be nervous with Castro.
That's something to watch because that's been his problem in the past is the focus. You just got to hope with all these young players and they're winning. You know, hopefully he's a new man. He's pumped.
It's the Fantasy Game of the Week.
This week's Fantasy Game of the Week is Seattle Mariners at home to take on the Oakland A's on May 8th, 2015. Why are two under 500 teams the Fantasy Game of the Week? I'll tell you why. Taiwan Walker, who I prefer to call Taekwon Walker, is finally figuring it out in the big leagues. Well, we thought so. He gave up 9 runs in 3 innings against the Astros in the last start, but he does have one of the best lineups in the league helping him out with Nelson Cruz and his league-leading 13 home runs. He also has 25 RBIs and batting 330, but Cruz is going against Sonny Gray, the Athletics ace. And he takes the mound for the A's, who have the best starting pitcher ERA in the majors. The issue is that their bullpen sucks. But offense versus defense, veterans versus rookies, who will get the last laugh in Seattle? That's this week's Fantasy Game of the Week.
Hey, it's Chris Welter. Don't tell Ben, but I took over Fantasy Baseball Weekly online. For the latest news and streaming pitchers, hit us up on Twitter at FantasyBBWeekly. Now, let's get back to the show.
Fantasy Baseball Weekly, Ben Korn, Chris Welter. During the break, we were just talking about what is value.
No, we're talking about what's the most valuable player mean.
Really? That's what we were talking about the whole time?
This segment is called Fantasy MVPs of the First Month.
Wow. I thought we were just talking about value picks.
All right, well, I mean, you're the host. You're making this up, so.
I tell you what, this is confusing.
Oh, boy.
Nailed but it, bro. All right, Fantasy MVP. Who has been kind of the guy that has made their teams better? And when I talk about teams, I'm talking about fantasy teams, not real teams.
So we'll get into this a little, but let's do our picks first. The way I look at it, the MVP of your team is going to be a guy you picked a little bit later.
No, interesting. I don't believe in that at all.
I can tell. I know. So I'm thinking guys, you know, that were drafted later but are now literally your best player. So my two guys, Nelson Cruz is obviously crushing it. He's got 11 home runs through the first month here. He's batting 330. And he was a back 100, you know, in the 80s, 90s, 100 overall pick.
And if you count May 1st into Nelson Cruz's number, he's now up to 13 home runs. That guy is killing it. Yeah. You missed out on home runs. You missed out on two more the other night.
It's funny. It's possible he's better without steroids, right?
Yeah. No, it's a weird, like, I think the interesting thing about the Nelson Cruz pick is that that's a guy that nobody wanted.
Yeah.
Like, everybody just assumed that.
Oh, he's in Seattle. Yeah. He's off steroids. No way.
And then all of a sudden, it's like, wait a minute, Nelson Cruz, you're a beast. Not only are you hitting 13 home runs, but your average is above 330. Was it 25 RBIs is what he has right now?
Yep.
I mean, Seattle as a whole is struggling. So that's where you could make a case if you're trying to talk about who's important for their team. You know, the starting pitchers for the Mariners, not very good. Yep. But Nelson Cruz is leading that offense.
Well, it makes you wonder, what's Robinson Cano doing? He finally has line of protection.
Yeah.
He's sucking. So my the other pick, really, Adrian Gonzalez is another one. He probably was, what, 50th, 60th player off the board.
Another guy that nobody wants to pick.
And he is
kind of boring.
Stud. He's batting 376. He's got 20 runs, 19 RBIs, and 8 home runs. And, yeah, again, it looks like this is going to keep going.
I think that Adrian Gonzalez may not keep going.
Why? What you think this is a fluke? I mean, this is what he did last year.
Well, not even necessarily that it's a fluke, but he just got off to such a huge start. Like, keep in mind, from a fantasy perspective, Agon hasn't gone deep in a little bit. You know, he had those 7 home runs in, like, the first week, and then now he's in the last, like, 3 weeks, he's hit, like, 2 home runs or something like that. So just keep in mind that he's still doing other things. Like, he gets the extra base hits and all that. But from a perspective of, is Adrian Gonzalez hitting home runs right now? Not as much as maybe those numbers tell you.
No, I'm with you. The power might slow down a little bit. But, hey, he hit 27 home runs last season. So
yeah. I mean, it'll still be good power.
He could push into 30. I mean, how many home runs do you think he hits this year?
I'm thinking 26.
20, that's a big slowdown. See, I don't think he's going to slow down that much. That's less.
What are you thinking?
That's less than 20 the rest of the way.
I think 35?
He'll get into he'll bet about 32, 33.
All right, mark that down on the podcast. We got to come back to this in a couple months and see where old Adrian Gonzalez is hanging out.
So who are your picks, Ben? Who's your MVP?
You know, I got to throw out there Hanley Ramirez. Just amazing. I mean, this is a tough pick for me because I don't like Hanley Ramirez that much. I don't think he does a lot for the team. He's kind of like a Mark Teixeira. You know, he's like, I'm just going to hit home runs, and that's all. Like, how do you hit 10 home runs in the first month, and then you don't have any other extra base hits?
What in the world is this segment? Are you picking your MVP, or are you hating on Hanley Ramirez?
It's a combination. That's my picks are love-hate. My picks are love-hate, Chris, all right?
Okay.
You got 10 home runs, you have no extra base hits, and you're batting .279. I mean, when you watch Hanley Ramirez bat, the dude is smoking the ball. Like, he's hitting the ball amazing.
No, he looks like twice the size as he does last year.
And you can just tell that he's like, I don't need to be good on D anymore. Like, you know, the ball goes out to him in the outfield, and he just, like, slowly walks over to it, half-ass it back in. Like, he's not playing hard and on defense.
Good. That's how you get hurt. Don't hustle.
That's what I'm saying. Don't hustle. Like, everything is playing out so that Hanley's going to hit, like, 55 home runs this year. Like, I think he's going to go ridiculously crazy, but I just don't feel good about that pick, but he has to be the MVP because he's keeping the Red Sox in it when their, you know, pitching has been horrendous.
Yeah, and he's a shortstop, which is a tough position to fill with an all-star.
My other guy, Paul Goldschmidt, I think it's funny because Paul Goldschmidt, he plays for the Diamondbacks. I like the team. I follow him quite regularly. But he's on the Diamondbacks, so nobody really knows about Paul Goldschmidt. So if you're a casual fan, even though Paul Goldschmidt's probably a top five player every year, nobody knows about Paul Goldschmidt.
Well, and he's just a really boring looking white guy. Like, he looks like every other dude on the street.
And his name's Goldschmidt. I mean, come on.
See, that he has going for him. That's a pretty hot name.
But he's very, I think the thing that I like about Goldschmidt is he's a leader on the team, makes everyone around him better. And he's getting everything done. He's got 5 steals. I didn't realize Paul Goldschmidt moves so fast.
Oh, yeah, he'll steal 20 bases a year.
He's got 5 home runs. He's got 5 doubles. He's batting in the 300s. I mean, Paul Goldschmidt's just getting it done across the board.
Yeah, I think he had three-hit games in a row there last week. He's on fire. But I'm confused by this pick, Ben, because when you draft Paul Goldschmidt, you pick him as an MVP.
He's
a second or third overall pick, which I love him there, don't get me wrong. But how is that an MVP if you have to assume he's going to do that when you pick him?
Correct, yeah. And so what I'm basically saying is that thank you, Paul Goldschmidt, for doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Okay. So, I mean, Mike Trout's an MVP.
Mike Trout is putting up similar numbers. I would almost say that Mike Trout's having somewhat of a down April for being a number one pick.
Oh, I wouldn't. I totally disagree.
Okay.
He said he's going to steal more, and he's doing that. So he's going for a little bit less power. He's trying to get on base more, and he's doing it. So because they've got him batting number two in the lineup.
I mean, his numbers are still consistent. He has similar to Paul Goldschmidt numbers in that, you know, he's got everything going for him.
Yeah.
But it just there's something about Trout this year that I feel like, you know, he's not Mike Trout.
Well, he's got poop holes hitting behind him.
Well, that's
hitting terrible.
Yeah, and see, that's where, you know, so it's like I drafted poop holes thinking that I was going to get all these RBIs because Mike Trout's going to be on. And Mike Trout's done all right. But what's poop holes done for me?
Nothing.
Which makes me hate Trout more, maybe. I don't know. I don't know why I'm hating Trout this much, but
I'm not sure.
Let me just tell you. I'd rather have Goldschmidt than Trout right now. That's what I'm saying.
Wow. Wow, I disagree.
Okay. Mark that down on the podcast. We'll see who comes out on top, Goldschmidt or Trout.
I'll do that. Have we done a bet yet?
I mean, we kind of always just do bets, but we never really bet anything.
Let's do we want to bet? Shot and a beer?
All right, I'm into it.
It's classic Boston.
Yeah, drop shot.
All right, shot and a beer.
And just a quick note, we talked about D. Gordon. I think that he's not an MVP, but it is worthy to look at that he has 9 steals and he's batting .423. I mean, he's definitely leading a team that Christian Yelich is doing nothing. Marcelo Ozuna is doing nothing.
Ooh, Ozuna's getting hot, though. Look out.
Okay.
If you got him, he's up to hitting .320 already. But yeah, no, I agree. D. Gordon can't be an MVP because he doesn't do anything except steals and average.
Yeah.
But if you need steals, he's great.
He's great. Yeah, he's like Billy Hamilton.
Sure.
Great for steals. But at least he has average.
Yeah, he has great average.
And just people that, you know, more that you're looking at that are great value picks that are putting up MVP numbers for where you got them. I mean, these guys were drafted outside of round 10. Like, these are like 15-round guys. Tevin Travis, we've talked about a number of times. Yeah. Just killing it. Jake Mariznick. 9 steals? Where's 9 steals coming from the number 8 hitter in the Houston Astros?
Fire. He's a top 10 player right now.
Will Myers, who you've always hated and I've always loved, is having a hell of a year, leading the league in runs.
Oh, wow. Really?
So he's 23 runs already, 7 doubles, 3 steals, batting leadoff for San Diego, which he never bat leadoff. He's not known to be a leadoff hitter, and he's kind of come into his own there. And a guy that you talk about all the time, Kendrys Morales. I mean, this guy, you know, you can pick him up on the free agent wire, and he's got 20 RBIs, 19 runs, and batting .323.
Love so. Kendrys Morales. People talk about him like he's 47 years old. He's only 31.
Yeah. But he does seem really old.
He's old on the Royals, I guess. A lot of young bucks there.
Quick notes about some pitchers that are really impressing you. I don't think many people know about Dallas Keuchel right now.
Yes, good call. We should shout him out here. He is on fire. You know, he's interesting. I don't think he gets a lot of love because he's not really a strikeout pitcher. He's more of a ground ball pitcher. But it's all coming together for him this year. He's 3-0. He's got an under 1 whip, 0.76 whip. Oh, it's 0.76 whip and ERA. They're the same.
Yeah, yeah, that was kind of crazy.
That confused me on my notes there. And he's got 22 strikeouts. This is a guy, I don't know, he was like a 150, 160, 170 overall pick.
Yeah, he was on my radar. He's an ace. I wanted him. Yeah, I wanted him. There was a lot of good talk about Dallas Keuchel before the year, and I was like, is he going to be good for the Astros?
Him and Colin McHugh on the Astros, yeah, they are really killing it. But I believe in Keuchel. I think what he's doing is legit.
And Matt Harvey, he dropped, but he's been living up to expectations.
Yeah, so far, I agree with you, but, you know, now they've said that they're going to do a 6-man rotation in the Mets, so you'll never get a 2-start week out of Matt Harvey.
Okay.
And, again, I think there's a good chance he gets shut down in September, which will destroy your playoff.
I don't know. They're doing so many weird things, though, where it's like they continue to run him out there for, like, a 7th inning mm-hmm. when they don't need to pitch him a 7th inning. Like, they're not managing him properly for what they say they're doing,
I agree,
which
is
managing,
a little weird,
you know, inning counts and stuff. So,
but I agree with you. So far this year, he's 5-0. He's got a 2.40 ERA, and he's striking out a batter per inning. So, yeah, he is a stud. He's an ace. He looks amazing.
And a guy that always seems to get off to a great start and then kind of takes a dump at the end of the year, Scott Kazmir, 5 quality starts, 1.62 ERA. Kind of off my radar, and I keep a pretty good radar of what's going on out there. Only 2-0 because his bullpen is horrendous on the A's, but 5 quality starts, 1.62 ERA, striking people out. I mean, this is a guy that if he's not picked up on your league, you want to kind of look out for Scott Kazmir because the A's offense is actually better than expected. They have, like, the 5th best offense in the American League. So there's some potential there to win some games. So look out for Scott Kazmir.
Yeah, he, you know, obviously he was phenomenal last year. He had kind of a late blooming breakout season last year, and he's increased his strikeout rate by two strikeouts per 9, which is just amazing because you wouldn't expect him to get the strikeouts. I do want to warn you, he has a .222 BABIP, which is very low. So there's some regression coming, but in general, yeah, Kazmir is doing it for the second year in a row. He looks like an ace.
Hey, guys, it's Franny. How do you start your day? Because I start mine with some coffee and Fantasy Baseball Weekly.
Okay, dokie. We continue here on Fantasy Baseball Weekly. We've been talking a lot, Chris. We gotta move a little bit faster, all right? These, you know, there's a lot of information. We got to get it to people, but at the end of the day, we're not here to talk for an hour.
All right, well, then stop talking.
Why are you talking right now? We're trying to make things happen.
I'm moving slow. We went to a wild wedding last night, and I'm hungover. I'm doing nothing fast right now.
So let's move right into tracking Chris. So Chris likes to give you his picks, and these are guys that, you know, aren't Paul Goldschmidt's of the world. These are people that are probably on waiver wires that you can pick up if you got an injury that's hurting you. But at the end of the day, Chris didn't do a very good job last week.
What?
I mean, that's what I'm telling people.
Okay, well, then let's review the stats, because I'm confused how this is bad.
All right.
I'm looking at the stats, and they look pretty good.
Brock Holt batted .250 with 1 run.
Okay, you start with the worst one. Okay.
Let's give that guy a D. All right? CJ Crone batted .292, a double run, 2 RBI. Not bad. I like CJ. I think he's coming on. Mark Teixeira, which isn't even a guy that you can list as one of these guys that's available to be picked up, but you wanted to throw him out there because he was doing so well. 0.190, 1 home run, 1 double, 2 RBIs. I'll give you a C, but because he's a good player, I would say that's even an F. And that's your guys. That's all the guys.
No. First of all, what's my grade for CJ Crone?
So CJ Cron, I'll give you a B minus because that's not bad. 292 with a double for a 1 week.
Okay, so you listed my subpar picks, we'll call them. Not really terrible, but subpar.
Yep.
There were three other players I mentioned.
Let's see.
Oh, good. I have it right here.
Okay.
Jake Mariznick.
Oh, yeah, you did pick Jake Mariznick.
How did he do this week?
Jake Mariznick did all right. He had two home runs, he had five steals, five RBIs. Seven runs. He batted .450.
Why are you saying it like that?
You know, he was only the second best player, period, last week. So I guess.
But you're saying good things, but you're saying it's so down. It doesn't
sound good. Yeah, I mean, that's fine. You did all right.
It more sounds like he had two home runs. He had five steals last week, five RBIs. He was the second best player in fantasy last week.
That's I give him an A plus and overall. Boom. Chris Welter, you get a B plus for your picks on the offensive categories. On the pitching, Tim Hudson, 7 innings pitched, quality start, no decision, only get 2 Ks. Dylan G, 7.2 innings pitched, quality start, no decision, 3 Ks. He allowed one run. I mean, at the end of the day, these guys pitched. They didn't hurt your earned run average, but they didn't really strike anybody out. They didn't get any wins. I'll give them Cs.
C's are tough. I agree with the no wins, but hey, they got a quality start.
But you know,
you
they
can't predict wins.
Dylan G pitched really well in that no decision, but he just needs to strike people out. But he doesn't, so that's what's tough about him.
I agree. No, no, those guys are going to strike you out, but strikeouts are tough to find on the waivers. So.
Yeah, yeah, good point. All right, so this is are we ready for this week's tracking, Chris?
I think so. As long as we can spit it out.
This is the most important thing we can do for our listeners. We are tracking Chris Welter's fantasy baseball picks, not his sleeping habits.
You got two names. We're keeping it short. Like I said, I'm hurting it today, so we're keeping it short. Yasmani Tomas is definitely intriguing me. You know, Jake Lamb went on the DL, and it looks like Tomas is going to play full-time while Jake Lamb's out. And he's got a little four-game hit streak going on right now. And again, he plays third base, which is a tough position to fill. So if you got a third base injury, Yasmani Tomas is a good pickup.
Yeah, bats right behind Goldschmidt and Trumbo, and that doesn't hurt.
That hurts, and the Arizona is a great ballpark to hit in. On the pitching side, Justin Masterson is kind of sneakily having a decent little year here for the Red Sox.
The one and only.
Yeah, basically the one and only pitcher. He's struggling with the control a little bit. He's walking too many guys. That's making me nervous. But he's against Tampa Bay this week. And Tampa Bay's terrible. So I like Justin Masterson this week.
All right, we'll keep you posted on how well Tracking Chris does.
We're not over yet, Ben. We do have a new sub-segment of the sub-segments.
Oh, yeah?
We're tracking Ben this week because you wanted to start throwing out names.
Okay.
How did your boy Jimmy Paredes do last week?
So it should be noted that I dropped your boy Jake Mariznick for Jimmy Paredes.
Oh, that's hurt. That's
going into this week. So even if Jimmy had a nice week, it wasn't.
He was not a Mariznick.
Yeah, he was not a Mariznick. He went 4-for-13, missed 2 games because of a pros test, and then he didn't get to play at home because he had to go to Tampa Bay. It was a tough week for Orioles in general. But he did have 3 RBIs, 2 runs, not bad overall pick. But no Jake Mariznick.
Yeah, the protest games hurt you. But so because of the protest games, I'll give you a C.
Okay.
It's okay.
I mean, I'd like to have a B there, but I understand that you're just a dick.
Well, you're going to call me a dick. I was going to invite you to throw out some more names here.
But now I can't?
Nah, do it anyway. All right.
So this week, I feel like Chris is taking too much of the glory, so I'm gonna show you my skills. Andre Ethier, a guy that Chris will never put on his list because he just does not like Andre Ethier, starting to have a nice year. He's taking the spot of Puig and Crawford. He's already got 3 home runs, 6 RBIs, and batted .368 last week. So he's starting to feel the flow. And just like with your boy Yasmani Tomas, he's got some playing time, which he hasn't really had this year because of those injuries. And then also on the Dodgers, Carlos Frias, kind of a long middle reliever, moved into starting lineup, has pitched reasonably well in his first 2 starts, and he's got the Brewers on May 6th. He's taken over Brandon McCarthy's spot, so I think there's a good chance of some high success for Carlos Frias this week.
All right, we'll revisit them next week and see how they did.
And just for people that are hot this week that you probably can't pick up, but keep them on your radar for the daily, Hanley Ramirez has hit 4 home runs last week. Jock Peterson starting to heat up for the Dodgers as he had a grand slam against the Diamondbacks. And the best 3 offensive players last week were all Houston Astros. Jake Mrazek was number 2, Jose Altuve was number 1, and George Springer was number 3.
And here comes Chris Carter with another home run today.
So watch out. Yeah, another big offensive output for the Houston Astros. So they're really starting to feel it. All right. I feel like that's an episode, right?
I think that was 2 episodes.
Yeah, that's we put a lot in this one. I feel tired. I feel like I gave it my all. Do you have anything else that you'd like to throw out before we bring in the music?
Yeah, let me just toss some 2 start pitchers this week. Kyle Hendricks has 2 starts and he's widely available. Jeff Locke, even though he does have a very high BABIP the past 2 starts, and he has 2 starts this week, so he is a good pickup. Jesse Hahn and Jesse Chavez of the Oakland Athletics, they have
the double Jessies.
They have a lot in common. They are both 2-star pitchers, and I like them. They're at Minnesota and at Seattle, which are both great pitcher ballparks.
Yep.
And if you want to get really deep, David Phelps is at Washington and at San Francisco. He has terrible matchups, but he's been hot. He's actually against Jordan Zimmermann and Madison Bumgarner, so he might not get you the wins, but if you really need somebody, David Phelps could work
for
you.
Could be good on the ERA, though. Washington and the Giants are not bringing it offensively, right. So... All right, that's it. Thank you so much for Chris Welter. I am Ben Korn. This is Fantasy Baseball Weekly. Check us out on Twitter, fantasybbweekly.com. No, it's not a .com. It's just at fantasybbweekly. Yeah. That's how Twitter works.
Throw a hashtag.
Oh, gosh. Well, thank you so much.
That's a finishing note if there ever was one.
We're shipping it to Monster. I'm a sailor!